This is, good afternoon, everyone. Let's go. Welcome, welcome to the Housing Development Corporation's Tuesday, June 4th, 2024 board meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order and note the presence of a quorum of the board. The first item on our agenda for board action is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on March 27th, 2024. I will now entertain a motion from the board.
Moved.
Mr. Gihan, thank you. Ms. Scott, second. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. We now move to the third item on the agenda, which is the president's report, and for that, I will call on Mr. Eric Enderman.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. I want to thank the members of the board and our partners who've joined us here today. We have a full agenda to get through this afternoon, as you can see, and I would say HDC has been busier than ever. But I really want to start by taking a moment to recognize and to celebrate our esteemed colleague, Mary John. Mary, as many of you know, after an impressive 38 years of service to HDC, Mary will be retiring in July. Throughout her remarkable tenure, Mary has played a vital role in advancing HDC's mission. Since joining the corporation in 1986, Mary has held a range of positions in the accounting team, advancing to her current role as Senior Vice President and Officer of the corporation in 2021. Through her work, Mary has demonstrated a track record of excellence and steadfast dedication to the betterment of New York City. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to Mary for her unwavering commitment to HDC, and I extend my best wishes to her as she embarks on this new chapter of life. That's the official version.
Thank you, everybody.
But I'd also like to say that for many of us who served in public service for the better part of our careers and who believe in the power of government to do things, the kind of incredible, softer power and influence of the good work done every day is incredible, Mary. And in my feeling of public service, you are in the best of the best. And I want to thank you for everything you've done for HDC.
Thank you so much. Kind words are very much appreciated. Thank you. It's been a
thank you, Mary.
HDC, but it's been a sweet leaving. But this career has been so. I can't get the words out right now. It's been very fulfilling from where I started. So HDC, we've done. I'm so grateful for the cooperation. I'm so what we've accomplished over the years, and I'm very grateful to everyone at HDC, everyone that's treated me as part of the HDC family, and all we have accomplished over the years. So thank you, everybody. And I will miss this place so much, but I think it's time for me.
Mary, thank you. And on behalf of the board,
I feel it too, Mary, so thank you very much. Following the presentation report of the Governance Committee, I'll present for your approval the appointment, another biggie, of Wanjiro Bilu as HDC's next Executive Vice President of Asset Management. Since Terry Giello's retirement, HDC has conducted an extensive recruitment effort to find the right candidate to fill this executive leadership position within the corporation and its largest division. I'm excited to welcome and introduce you to Wanjiro Bilu, who has joined us in person today. I'd like to extend my appreciation to the entire asset management team, which throughout this transition has carried out its critical work with incredible professionalism and without skipping a beat. So more on that introduction when we will get to the item, but Wanjiro, welcome today. It's great to have you. Next on the agenda, HDC's Vice President and General Counsel, Susanna Lipsight, will present for your approval an amendment to the bylaws of the corporation. And I will then present a related appointment of our colleague, Mary Hom as Chief Risk Officer of the corporation in recognition of her strong leadership as HBC's Credit Risk Officer for nearly a decade. More on that as well. So thank you for your work, Mary. We will then turn to Senior Vice President for Development, Lauren Connors, who will seek your approval of an authorizing resolution that will enable the financing of various affordable housing developments throughout the city, as well as more than 1,900 units of public housing across the PACT BBM and Sackworm developments in the Bronx and the PACT West Brighton development in Staten Island. Ruth Marrera, HBC's first Executive Vice President, will then seek your approval of an authorizing resolution related to the financing of the aforementioned West Brighton and BBM developments through the Housing Impact Resolution. Lauren Connors will then join us once again to present for your approval two Declaration of Intent resolutions, one for a proposed new construction development that will ultimately deliver 371 homes, affordable homes, to the increasingly high-cost Red Hook neighborhood of Brooklyn, and another that will enable the rehabilitation of more than 1,500 homes at the Linden Plaza Mitchell-Lama development in East New York, Brooklyn. Next, our Executive Vice President for Capital Markets and Investments, Ellen Duffy, will request your approval to provide funding to the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, which will help to ensure housing stability for 55 households residing and remaining at the Rupert Yorkville Towers Mitchell-Lama development in Manhattan. You'll then hear from Michael Rose, Vice President for Preservation Development, who will present for your approval the funding of two HBD swap initiatives. And finally, HBC Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Kathy Bauman will present for your approval the filing of a proposed budget and financial plan for fiscal year 2025. Today's extensive agenda highlights the ongoing commitment of the HBC team in tackling our city's housing crisis with innovative solutions, including both the preservation and construction of affordable housing, as well as the protection of our city's public housing stock. None of this work would be possible without the unwavering support of HBC's board of directors and the collaboration of so many talented colleagues across the affordable housing industry. I extend my gratitude to each of you for your contributions in furthering our shared mission to create a more affordable and inclusive city. And with that, I turn it back to our board chair, Commissioner Carrione, to kick off today's agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. And let me just take the privilege of the chair for a moment to, one, say thank you to you and the team here at HDC. Our partnership and what we have done over the last calendar year and two fiscal years to climb out of COVID and the paralysis that set in New York City for a bit as a result of the challenges that COVID presented us has been extraordinary. It's the work has turned us around as a city. And we are, in spite of the fact that we're facing a 1.4% vacancy rate in our rental market, the rebound in the production of affordable housing has been tremendous. So thank you. I also want to specifically thank Mary on behalf of the board and the people of the city of New York. 38 years is a little while. And you gave it to us. You gave that time of your life and your professional talents to the people of the city. So on behalf of the people of the city and this board, we want to say thank you very, very much for the record. And also to welcome Wanjira. We'll hear more about her in a little bit, but we're excited for her addition. Thank you for your report. And now we will turn to the report of the Governance Committee. And for purposes of that item, I will call on the Denise Scott, who will make the presentation. Ms. Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the Governance Committee met prior to this meeting, at which time an amendment to the corporation's bylaws in terms of employment for Wanjira Bila and as Executive Vice President for Asset Management of the corporation were discussed and approved. The amendment to the bylaws and Ms. Bila's appointment will both be presented for full board approval later in this meeting. The actions of the Governance Committee with respect to the terms of employment for Ms. Bila as Executive Vice President for Asset Management must be ratified by the HDC board.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to ratify the terms of employment for the Executive Vice President of Asset Management that was just approved by the Governance Committee. Motion. Thank you, Mr. Jihai. Second. Thank you, Mr. Mergler. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries, and we now move to the appointment of Executive Vice President for Asset Management. And for that purpose, I will call again on the President, Eric Enderlin.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the appointment of Wanjiro Bila as Executive Vice President for Asset Management of the New York City Housing Development Corporation. Ms. Bila brings to this position extensive experience in New York City's affordable and public housing industry. Ms. Bila has held numerous positions, primarily involving asset management and operations in affordable housing, public housing, and economic development. Ms. Bila currently serves as Executive Advisor to the Chief Operating Officer at the New York City Housing Authority. She also previously served as NYCHA's Vice President for Public Housing Operations. Prior to NYCHA, Ms. Bila held several positions at New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development, including Assistant Commissioner and Director of Finance in the Office of Asset and Property Management. Ms. Bila has work experience in the economic development sector in Ontario, Canada, including as team leader at the Ontario Ministry of Transportation, senior economist at the Ontario Ministry of Infrastructure, policy specialist at the Ontario Ministry of Energy and Infrastructure, and senior analyst at Altus Group Economic Consulting. Ms. Bila holds a Bachelor of Science in Economics and Computer Science from Trent University and a Master of Arts in Economics from the University of Saskatchewan. I'm formally recommending that Ms. Bila be appointed Executive Vice President for Asset Management. With your approval, Ms. Bila's appointment would be effective as of her anticipated start date in July of 2024, with the employment terms that will be presented were presented to the members of the Corporation's Governance Committee prior to the HDC board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Enderlin. I'll entertain a motion to appoint Wanjiro Bila as Executive Vice President for Asset Management.
So moved.
Thank you. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Congratulations. Welcome aboard, Ms. Bila.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. We move on to the next item, which is the approval of an amendment to the bylaws of the corporation. And for that purpose, I will call on Susanna Lipsight.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve an amendment to the bylaws of the New York City Housing Development Corporation, which provides for the addition of a chief risk officer as an officer of the corporation. Before you is one black-lined copy with a yellow post-it, indicating the recommended change to the existing bylaws. This amendment is an effort to conform the HDC bylaws to the REMIC bylaws, which had a chief credit officer as an officer position for many years, and which as of this morning has a chief risk officer position. Prior to this meeting, the REMIC board approved an amendment to the REMIC bylaws to change the title to chief risk officer to more closely align with how the position operates. HDC has had a chief risk officer, and before that, a chief credit officer leading our credit committee, and more recently also leading the corporation's internal audit department. This role has not been a formal officer position in the HDC bylaws. The amendment before you formalizes the role as an officer of the corporation. Adding a chief risk officer to the HDC bylaws is a continuation of our work over the past couple of years to build our senior team and recognize the importance of certain key roles as the corporation grows. Subject to the members' approval of the amendment to the bylaws, we would be presenting under a separate agenda item a recommendation to appoint Mary Hom, who has been serving in this role for many years, to the position of chief risk officer. Are there any questions?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Didn't even have to ask. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Congratulations, Ms. Hom.
That was to put the role into the.
Oh, to, yes, yes. We got to do Ms. Hom later. Yes, yes.
And very soon.
And very soon. Yes, no, yes.
I think right now.
Like right now. The next item on the agenda is the appointment of our chief risk officer. I want to congratulate the bylaws.
We know what you meant.
For what they have achieved today. Yes. And again, I call on President Enderlin.
Yeah, there's been some changes to the schedule, so we're editing verb tenses on the fly today. Thank you for bearing with us on this.
Okay.
I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the appointment of Mary Hom as Chief Risk Officer of the New York City Housing Development Corporation. The Chief Risk Officer is an existing role in the Credit Risk Department of the corporation that until now has not been a formal officer position in the bylaws of the corporation. However, as just presented, the members have amended the HDC bylaws to add a Chief Risk Officer as an officer of the corporation. Ms. Hom has been steadfastly serving in this capacity, originally as Chief Credit Officer, leading the corporation's credit committee since October 2015 with rigor and thoughtfulness, and more recently with the additional responsibility of the corporation's internal audit department as Chief Risk Officer since January of 2019, guiding the corporation with her strong analytical skills and unwavering dedication to the protection of HDC's interests. Prior to her role as Chief Risk Officer, Ms. Hom served as Deputy Director of Credit Risk from March 2004 to October 2015. Ms. Hom joined HDC in 2004 with over 15 years of credit experience in the private sector, which included serving as Director at Westmoreland Capital Management, as an officer at Intesa BCI, now known as Intesa San Paolo, and serving as First Vice President with UBS Global Asset Management. Ms. Hom has her BA in Business Economics from Brown University. In recognition of her performance and incredible leadership in the credit risk area, I'm recommending that she be appointed Chief Risk Officer of the corporation. With your approval, Ms. Hom's appointment would be effective as of June 4th, 2024, which is today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And I will pull Ms. Hom out of the future and into the present to do it the right way and in the right order. I now will entertain a motion to appoint Mary Hom as Chief Risk Officer for HDC.
Do I hear a move?
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition. The motion carries. Congratulations, Mary Hom. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. And formally opening the Finance Committee, we will entertain approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2024 Series B and C and approval of mortgage loans. I will now call on Lauren Connors for this.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2024 Series B bonds and 2024 Series C bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $759,800,000. The bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities described in your memorandum. The 2024 Series B bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York state and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap and an allocation of recycled cap volume cap. Interest in the 2024 Series C bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York state and local income tax. The anticipated interest rates, maturity dates, and other relevant terms of the bonds are described in your memorandum. Members are also being asked to authorize the corporation to enter into one or more standby bond purchase agreements or other facilities to provide liquidity to pay the purchase price of the bonds in the event of a failed remarketing provided by State Street Bank and Trust Company for variable rate obligations issued from time to time in the open resolution. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 360th through 363rd supplemental resolutions. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series B bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the mortgage loans for 8 developments. The proceeds will create approximately 1,205 new rental homes in the Bronx and Brooklyn. It is also anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series B bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and/or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance the Sun loan for PAC Sac Warren, PAC West Brighton, and PAC Boston Secor, Boston Road Plaza, and Middletown Plaza developments. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series C bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and/or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the mortgage loans for 5 developments. The proceeds will be used to rehabilitate or create approximately 510 existing and new rental homes in Queens and the Bronx. A portion of the proceeds will also provide additional financing for 95 existing units in the Bronx, which the members have previously approved. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 through 12. It is anticipated an additional portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series C bonds will be used to re-leverage certain assets that are currently held under the open resolution and to leverage certain assets held by the corporation to lock in funding at current rates. The issuance of such 2024 Series C bonds will allow for replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitments to the city's housing plan. It is anticipated that the remaining portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series C bonds will be used for future lending. The members are being asked to authorize the issuance of the bonds pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions. Accordingly, all or a portion of the bonds may be converted to other interest rate modes provided for in the supplemental resolutions, such as fixed rate or variable rate. It is anticipated that a portion of the bonds will initially be issued as tax exempt fixed rate bonds to finance the short and long-term portion of the mortgage loans. It is anticipated that an additional portion of the bonds may be issued as taxable fixed rate bonds to finance all or a portion of the mortgage loans or for future lending. It is also anticipated that the 2024 Series B3 bonds may be initially issued as tax-exempt variable rate demand bonds to finance a portion of the long-term senior mortgage loans. It is anticipated that a portion of the Series 2024 C bonds may be issued as variable rate SOFR index bonds expected to be purchased by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. In order to manage the interest rate risk associated with the variable rate portion of the bonds, the corporation is working with Mahanti Garjulo LLC, its hedge advisor, and expects to enter into one or more interest rate hedging instruments. More details on the developments, as well as State Street, the bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions? Yes.
First, let me, join the chair of the board in thanking HDC for the numerous buildings located in the borough, the Bronx, of which he was the president. Yes. I'm going to ask a couple of questions so that they are asked for the record and not as necessary to reflect my own opinion, as you will see. With respect to the Boston Post Road building, attachment 11, there are 16 of 148 units, which are Section 8. At which they will be 50% of the AMI, the rental cap in those. And the remainder would apparently all be uniformly 80% with no variation in the spread. Is that correct?
So,
yeah.
So this is, you're speaking about the BR affordable attachment 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an existing development and the residents are already in there at the current income level.
Mind in the future, just say
yes.
Number two, this one is a little more. This one is attachment number 4 in hybrid. I assume that HDC is going to be overlooking the question of supervising the spread of rentals here, goes between 60% and 80%.
That's
an average of. Would HPD supervise make that determination of what?
It's just a different.
We've got a pretty fair spread there.
Let me just make sure I'm looking at, you're talking about attachment number four?
Yeah.
SDV Highbridge. It's an LO deal.
With a shelter in the basement or the ground floor.
Right.
If you need to take.
Yeah, I mean, we have our conventional.
I can answer that. So this is being financed under our LO program. So there are various tiers at different levels. And HDC, our asset management compliance group, we're the regulatory agency. So we will be monitoring the compliance and the income levels on the development.
Who will set them for the individual apartment?
They are preset.
The term sheet.
The term sheet.
Yeah.
They're preset.
Yeah.
And are they for the residents or in terms of the entire residency of the occupant? Or are they for a period of years? Or are they permanent?
So they will enter into a regulatory agreement of 35 years. So those particular regulatory restrictions on the AMI will go through those 35 years.
Last question. You have on the, at least a couple of floors, five floors, you have a transitional shelter. Negative, I just want to know what the facts are. What arrangements are made to secure the residences of the upper floors to the extent if any necessary?
So, just one thing, and I know that this is obvious, so we are not financing the shelter. It's co-located in our building. There will be separate entrances for the shelter component of the building and a separate entrance for the resident, for the financing that we are doing. As part of the financing, there are security costs being built into the development budget. So there is security that's going to be provided for the building and for the shelter itself. Part of the contract would include services and security too.
And Ruth, you are magnificent.
Isn't she?
This stuff is not in these reports, and that's why the question was asked, why I said I was asking. Okay. So that we knew what we were doing as we were doing it. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mergler. Hearing no other questions, I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution.
I have to read the.
Lips type three, a thing she has to read. We'll hold your motion for a second, sir. Thank you.
Members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution. The issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the open resolution of any mortgage loans or assets of the corporation, the terms of any liquidity facility and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. Members are requested to authorize the use of available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $112,960,000 to finance 6 senior loans and 7 subordinate loans for 7 Ella developments, 3 Sun loans for the PACT developments, and 2 senior loans for preservation developments, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the financing. Members are being asked to approve State Street Bank and Trust Company to serve as a liquidity provider in the open resolution and authorize the corporation to enter into one or more liquidity facilities with State Street for variable rate obligations issued from time to time in the open resolution. Finally, the members are requested to approve the execution of one or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not to exceed $100 million, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into said hedging instruments.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Lipsight. Having read the authorizing resolution into the record, I will now entertain a motion, which is coming from Mr. Mergler, authorizing, and the second from Mr. Nyblack, relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2024 series B and C and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much. We will now go to item number 9 on the agenda, which is an approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the housing impact bonds 2024 series C, D, E, and F for the New York City Housing Authority PACT, West Brighton and Boston Secor, Boston Road Plaza and Middletown Plaza, BBM developments, and approval of mortgage loans. For that purpose, I call on Ruth Moreira.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's housing impact bonds 2024 Series C, D, E, and F, and a combined amount not expected to exceed $241,410,000, and that the members approve the origination of a permanent senior unenhanced, non-accelerating, or SUN loan in an amount not to exceed $82,400,000 to finance the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent financing of the NYCHA projects known as West Brighton and Boston Secor, both Boston Road Plaza and Middletown Plaza, also known as BBM. Both West Brighton and BBM developments are part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, or PACT, strategy outlined in the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 plan, which describes how the city will reinvest and reposition public housing through Section 8 conversions. Subject to HUD and Freddie Mac approval, the housing impact bond proceeds are expected to fund 4 mortgage loans for the 2 developments within each project. One loan representing 90% of the loan proceeds is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of a standby credit enhancement agreement issued by Freddie Mac. The remaining 10% of the loan proceeds within each project is expected to be secured with a subordinate mortgage loan enhanced by the corporation's general obligation pledge. The mortgage loans are expected to each have 30-year terms with interest-only payments for 5 years, after which each loan will amortize over a 40-year amortization schedule with a balloon due at the end of the 30-year term. Interest on a portion of the bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as recycled tax-exempt private activity bonds. An additional portion of the bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. The SUN loans will be senior, unenhanced, and non-accelerable, with fixed principal and interest payments that are designed to mimic real estate taxes. The SUN loans will have a 40-year term and will fully amortize after a 5-year interest-only period. The SUN loan will not require external credit enhancement because of its high debt service coverage and particularly low repayment risk. The proceeds of the mortgage loans and the SUN loans will be used for the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent mortgage for West Brighton and BBM. The proposed rehabilitation work is extensive and is expected to bring significant quality of life improvements to residents, promote energy efficiency, and enhance the project's physical appearance. West Brighton is expected to consist of 586 units located in the West New Brighton neighborhood of Staten Island. BBM is expected to consist of 3 developments totaling 952 units located in the East Chester, Allerton, and Pelham Bay neighborhoods in the Bronx. Each project is expected to receive a subordinate loan made by the corporation using city capital granted by the City of New York, acting by and through HPD. The final closing and sizing of the subsidy is subject to review and approval by the Office of Management and Budget. More detail on the developments, as well as bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Moreira. If
no questions, Susanna will provide the authorizing resolution.
Thank you, Ruth. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the Housing Impact Bond Resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the execution of the HVC funding agreement, the pledge for the housing impact resolution of any mortgage loans or other assets of the corporation, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are asked to authorize the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in an amount not to exceed $24,150,000 plus any interest due on the HVC enhanced mortgage loans. The members are asked to authorize the origination of SUN loans in an amount not to exceed $82,400,000. And for the authorizations requested above, the members are requested to approve the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings.
Thank you, Ms. Lipsight. I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution related to Housing Impact Bonds 2024 Series C, D, E, and F for the NYCHA Pact, West Brighton and Boston Secor, Boston Road Plaza and Middletown Plaza BBM Developments, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by members described in the memo before you. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mr. Nyblack. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much, members. We now move to the next item on the agenda, which is approval of a declaration of intent resolutions for Columbia Street, Building C, 498 Columbia Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11231. And Linden Plaza, 675-765 Lincoln Avenue, 750-792 Elder Lane in Brooklyn, New York. For purposes of these items, I will now call on Lauren Connors.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
You know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. Please refer to the two memorandums before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, Columbia Street Building C, located in Brooklyn, New York, and Resolution of Declaration of Intent, Linden Plaza, also located in Brooklyn, New York. The proposed Columbia Street Building C development will consist of a new construction of one building containing a total of 371 residential low-income rental units to be located in the Red Hook neighborhood of Brooklyn. It is expected that the development will use approximately $131,330,000 in tax-exempt bonds. The project is expected to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by Columbia SF LLC and YL Red Hook 2023 LLC. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion. Thank you for the motion. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Nyblack. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no oppositions. The motion carries. Thank you very much. And we now move to Linden Plaza.
The Linden Plaza development consists of the proposed rehabilitation of 5 multi-story buildings and 32 townhouse units containing a total of 1,527 residential low-income rental units located in the East New York neighborhood of Brooklyn. It is expected that the development will use approximately $135 million in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by Camber Property Group, LLC. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Connor. I will now entertain a motion to approve the declaration of intent for Linden Plaza in Brooklyn.
I move.
Thank you, Mr. Nyblack. Second.
Second.
Mr. Mergler, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing opposition, the motion carries. I'm very excited about these approvals for the declarations of intent. We have so much work to do with these. Thank you very much. We now move to the next item on the agenda, which is the approval to fund the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, Rupert Yorkville Subsidy Program. And for that, I will call on Ellen Duffy.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend the members of the New York City Housing Development Corporation approve the transfer of a not to exceed amount of $3,400,000 of HDC corporate reserves to the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, also known as HAC, to continue to provide subsidy to certain residents of Rupert Yorkville Towers in accordance with a 2003 agreement with the City of New York. Rupert Yorkville Towers is a former Mitchell Lama rental complex located on the Upper East Side of Manhattan that bought out of the program and converted into a condominium in 2002. That time, litigation between the residents and the owner of the buyout resulted in a court-supervised settlement. The city agreed to subsidize residents of Rupert Yorkville Towers earning less than 80% of AMI for as long as the residents remained income eligible and continued to reside at Rupert Yorkville Towers. The city requested HAC to be the vehicle to provide the city subsidy program. HAC was originally created to finance affordable housing and provide direct tenant assistance using money from the Municipal Assistance Corporation at the direction of the city. The city subsidy program for Rupert Yorkville Towers was approved by the HAC board members in July 2003. The background and details of the city subsidy program are described in the attached 2003 memorandum in your packet. Between 2004 and 2017, the members of HTC authorized periodic transfers to HAC in amounts not to exceed $10 million outstanding to cover shortfalls in available resources at HAC to cover payments under the city subsidy program. As HAC approached the $10 million cap in 2017, the members approved the sale of HAC's remaining 5 mortgage loans to HTC to securitize and pledge to the open resolution. The securitization of the HAC loans raised approximately $23.8 million for HAC. The loan sale proceeds were used to repay HTC $9.05 million in unreversed transfers that had made to HAC, and the remaining $14.75 million was held at HAC, invested, and used to continue funding the city subsidy program. The background and details of the approval of the loan sale from HAC to HTC are described in the attached 2017 memorandum. The money in HAC is projected to be depleted by June 2024. 2 years later than was originally projected when we securitized the loans in 2017. As there are no longer assets or monies available in HAC to fund the city subsidy program, HTC proposes to temporarily fund on a monthly basis the city subsidy program. HTC would transfer the necessary amounts from its corporate reserves until December 2025 with an estimated not to exceed amount of $3,400,000 in the aggregate. As the payments are projected to continue for several decades, a long-term solution needs to be found. Therefore, HTC staff will work with the City of New York to determine other potential resources to support the city subsidy program going forward and to reimburse the corporation for any funds deposited with HAC and used to pay the subsidy. This time, I'm going to read the action by the members, and then I will open it up to questions. The members are requested to approve the authorization to fund a not to exceed amount of $3,400,000 in the aggregate of corporate reserves to be transferred to HAC on a monthly basis to cover monthly payments under the city subsidy program through December 2025, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation to execute any documents necessary to effect such transfers. Are there any questions?
Mr. Mergler.
Chairman, I apologize. This is another one of those, so the record is complete. Mm-hmm. We have looked at this.
Okay.
I'm going to vote for this, but I'm very troubled by it. What is happening here is the City of New York, through its several agencies, is subsidizing number of tenants. I'm for all of that. I like that. I think that's great. But the subsidy should have come from the people who opted out, bailed out, and cashed out in the litigation. The majority of the stock was sold to the public, and they cashed out and they did well. It should have come out of their hide, not the taxpayers. Nonetheless, the people have a right to be served. They need shelter, and everybody has, in my view, an absolute right to shelter. Therefore, I endorse the motion and move its adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Mergler. Mr. Nyblak, sir.
What are the terms of the subsidy? What's the amount seems high, I guess, per unit, per household.
The terms are that they don't pay any more than, I think, 30% of the rent.
30% of their income of AMI.
Okay.
And the subsidy.
And there's 55 households remaining.
55 remaining, yes.
And their incomes are verified annually to be below.
You see it monthly. We see the reports monthly.
To be below 80% of AMI. That's the.
It's yearly, I believe.
Yeah.
Asset management certified.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It's a lot of money per unit.
Mm-hmm. It's rental. It's basically rental. It's
rental assistance. Yeah. And it's an old city settlement that we have to abide by. But I think the wisdom of looking forward now to a longer term resolution is the key here. Ms. Scott?
Regarding the longer term resolution, what's the process for you have a team of people who are focused on figuring this out? Because it's not just this building, right? This set of buildings. there's a whole cadre of Mitchell-Amis.
This is its own issue, though. This is its own.
It may be, but.
Yeah, there could be other analogous, you know, there is a move towards universal rental assistance in the world, but, you know, we're not there yet. But this is its own roll-off plan that is dated back to that 2003 issue where the city obligated itself. And the question is a good one. We don't have clear visibility. Basically, what you're seeing in that retracement of history is we've kind of rolled the clock back to 2003, where we're starting over again. Fewer people, maybe lower numbers, but because of inflation, the numbers still get pretty high. But if you rolled it all the way out, that final number could be substantial. So we've advised, you know, that I predicted this a little bit in my head at the time, but the current deputy mayor was the chair of this board at the time of 2017 when this happened. So we've re-entered some of those conversations. A team of folks here have begun talking with City Hall. I assume our colleagues at OMB will be in this conversation at some point in some way. So we have to figure out, we don't have a lot of visibility about exactly how we would solve it. And we don't, previously we had those loans that were sold and funded it. So there probably are things that we can think about, but we don't have the visibility. So right now we're starting on a place where we, to continue the source, we are actually coming from our balance sheet to do it.
Thank you, Ms. Scott.
If you look at it from the standpoint of people, that's the important thing, and that's what we're trying to solve.
Correct. Thank you. Let the record show. I will now, hearing no other, strong bond.
Yes.
Hearing no other comments or questions, I will now entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah, stay that way.
Hearing no other comments and questions, I will now entertain a motion to approve the funding of the New York City. Thank you. Housing Assistance Corporation, Rupert Yorkville subsidy program. We're living in the future. It's been moved by Ms. Scott and seconded by Mr. Nyblack. Let the record show. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Please speak now. Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much, members. We now, excuse me, move to the to approval of HPD funding swap initiatives. And for that purpose, I will call on Michael Rose. Mr. Rose, thank you.
Thanks. I am pleased to present for the members' approval the corporation's use of its unrestricted corporate reserves in an amount not to exceed $17 million for the purpose of participating in a funding swap initiative with the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. This initiative will help HPD to close on new capital financing for housing preservation projects within their pipeline that are anticipated to be funded in June of 2024. Such loans are referred to in the memo as the city project loans. From time to time, the corporation has entered into similar funding swap agreements with HPD to enable programmatic initiatives and priorities within HPD's pipeline. When HPD is the sole lender providing financing to a project, which is often the case for projects that are fully leveraged and cannot support new or additional senior financing, there are sometimes soft costs related to the financing closing that cannot be funded by HPD City Capital due to capital eligibility restraints. By participating in this funding swap with HPD, the corporation will assist in the closing of such projects by allocating corporate reserves as a funding source for the capitally ineligible costs. In exchange for this allocation of corporate reserves towards the city project loans, HPD will grant city capital funds to the corporation in a commensurate amount and pursuant to section 661 of the private housing finance law to partially fund the corporation subsidy loans on one or more new construction projects to be financed during June. The HPD projects to be funded under this initiative will fall into two categories. First, projects that have experienced construction cost overruns and have requested additional funding from HPD to enable their conversion to permanent financing. And second, HPD funded projects to rehabilitate Mitchell-Amis cooperatives within the corporation's portfolio that are unable to leverage new senior financing. As with other such funding swap initiatives, the terms will be memorialized in a memorandum of understanding between HPD and the corporation. While the funding swap will not increase HDC's risk, the initiatives will limit the ability to pledge the HDC subsidy loans to a bond investor. And due to this restriction, the swap will result in a reduction of HDC's ability to issue $17 million of bonds that could otherwise generate proceeds to be used for future lending capacity. This is a limitation of this program that merits further discussion and investigation as the number of funding swaps increases. Further details on the terms and risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. And before I open the floor to any questions, I will read the authorizing motions. The members are requested to approve first the use of up to $17 million of the corporation's reserves to fund the June 2024 funding swap initiative's dedicated account for the making of the city project loans. And second, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the making of the city project loans. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Any questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the HPD funding swap initiatives.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Jiha. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you, board members. The next item, we told you it was going to be a long agenda. This could be the last item. The last or penultimate is approval of authorization to file budget and financial plan, the budget and financial plan into the public authorities reporting information system for fiscal year 2025 pursuant to section 2801 of the public authorities law. And for that, I will call on Kathy Bowman. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the corporation's filing of the budget and financial plan into the public authorities reporting information system, also known as TARIS, for fiscal year 2025. Pursuant to section 2801 of the New York Public Authorities Law, state authorities are asked to prepare and submit to their members for review and approval a proposed budget and financial plan no later than 90 days prior to the commencement of the next fiscal year. As the corporation's fiscal year commences on November 1st, the 90-day mark for the filing is July 31st, 2024. This plan must also be submitted to various state officials, entered into the New York State Authority's Budget Office's Paris online data system, and posted on the corporation's website. The state comptroller's regulations prescribe the format and content of the proposed budget and financial plan, including the requirement that the financial plan include the budget for the current fiscal year and revenue and expenditure projections for at least the next 3 years. Please note that this form of budget is atypical for financial reporting standards, as the Paris format combines operating revenues and expenses together with capital sources and uses. As always, the members will be asked to approve the corporation's operating budget for fiscal year 2025 at the annual meeting later in the fall. Before I open the floor to questions, I'm going to read the authorizing resolution. The members are being asked to authorize the filing of the proposed budget and financial plan for fiscal year 2025 pursuant to the requirements of section 2801 of the public authorities law. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Any questions on this ministerial action? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. The motion was presented by Mr. Mertler to approve the authorizing filing of the budget and financial plan into the public authorities reporting information system pursuant to section 2801 of the public authorities law. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. At this time, I'd like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. Second. Thank you, Mr. Nightlack. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, that motion carries. All that good work of the Finance Committee. Thank you very much. The last item on the agenda is other business. Is there any other business that the members would like to discuss at this time? It's a very dangerous place to be. there being no other business, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn. The Mernberg.
Second.
Mr. Jiha. All in favor, say aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries. The meeting is closed. Thank you, everyone.